Paul writing and speaking, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't gotten there yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I have promised land mentality. I have faith in your word. And today we will defeat any adversary and claim our inheritances in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This was written to us by Paul, and I want the thought changing from the inside out to just rivet itself into your thinking today. I'm making some changes on the inside. It's something that we need to say to ourselves and say aloud. I'm making some changes on the inside. And let me encourage you, even though you've had failures in life, learn from your failures. There's lessons here. What a shame that so many go through life having failure after failure and not learning from them. What a shame to go through life and discover you just keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Going from one man to another man, from one woman to another woman, job to job, church to church, same mistakes. We're supposed to learn from our mistakes. And if you learn from your mistakes, listen, you can let go of all those failures in the past because we've learned how to deal with those issues and move forward. Begin to reach onto the next level of promises in God for the promised land God laid before you. Paul tells the church to forget the things of the past. That doesn't mean you don't have to change. That doesn't mean you stay like you are and forget and then just go on with your life. No, we have to learn from our mistakes and make change because God's called us not to comfort but to uncomfortableness from the moment we're born again to continuously change, moving ahead in Him. God has us on the potter's wheel and we have to change so we become what He's envisioned us to be and intended us to be. You're to forget the things of the past. You are to reach toward the new things of the future. Let go of the comfortableness. He's telling you, you have to leave the baggage of your past behind you so you can embrace your future. So too many Christians want to be into soul management when we actually need soul transformation. He's not called us to soul management. He's called us to soul transformation. In some areas, everyone is a control freak, for good or bad. So when you need something done, you put a control freak in charge so it'll get done because control freaks get it done. But in some cases, when a control freak attempts to step over lines, they can hurt people. So they can ruin relationships. So when you discover you've got this tendency to always want to be in control to the point where it's bizarre, in the negative, you back away. You're not going to hurt people. That's not what we're designed to be. And you see the truth about yourself, and you determine, I have to make some changes. Because if you're doing things to hurt others, you want to know what those things are so you can learn to change. Learn so you don't keep repeating that. We ask the Holy Spirit and others whom we trust to assist us to make the changes necessary so we're not hurting our own work and the lives of others. Make changes. And the way you respond in your life to people and situations is a direct result of your past. Because you might be a control freak because you were raised by one. Or you're a control freak because someone took control away from you, and now you will fight and say, no one will do that to me again. You're a direct result of your past. Your behavior is the direct result of your roots. Bad fruit comes from bad roots. So God wants you to begin to look at the roots in your life. Once you're born again, He's trying to grow fruit of the Spirit so you can produce good fruit. And no matter who you are, God intends for all of us to change. We all need modification, change. And just because you have a horrible past doesn't mean you have the right to step on anybody else and treat them poorly. Just because you were abused does not give you the right to become an abuser. Anytime you get hurt, you tend to build a wall around yourself. And anytime pain enters, you continue building that wall. You carry ugly baggage emotionally in life. And there comes this attitude of pride, and it's all about me, me, me. It's all about this is what I'm going to get because this is what happened to me. It's all about look at who I am. Perhaps your baggage is pride. And it always seems like where pride is, jealousy won't be far behind. They're kind of go together like a brother and a sister. And as hurts come into our lives, we build walls around ourselves. Because someone stepped on you, you built a wall. And you keep on building a wall. And finally, you keep on building them until ultimately you block just about everybody out of your life. You've isolated yourself with all that emotional baggage. And God is telling us, deal with your mess. Deal with it. Let me help you deal with it. Deal with your issues. Don't try to sweep them under the rug so that the walls that you've designed around yourself for protection can be torn down and you can live in liberty. You have to know that emotional baggage will hurt you, and it hurts those around you and keeps you from fulfilling your destiny. You become difficult to get along with when that baggage becomes so large, it overwhelms you in life. And when you're hurting, you tend to hurt people. And if you're hurting, no matter why you're hurting, God's attempting to get your attention. Hey, because you're hurting people. And if you grew up in a dysfunctional family, and many have, you would have had to have been raised by Jesus not to come with some dysfunction. Okay? None of us is perfect. We're imperfect. We raise our kids with imperfection. And on it goes. And if you grew up in a dysfunctional family, God wants you to begin to look at yourself and begin to look at the roots of your life so that you can now start producing good fruit where there's been some bad fruit. Everybody has issues from the past. God wants you to unpack those issues so he can begin to bring healing into your life. Jesus said to the one man, "Stretch forth your withered hand so I can bring healing to you." What does that mean to you? It means this: God, I have some issues in my life and some areas that have been withered because of the things I've had to experience. And I'm stretching forth this withered part of my life to you because I can't fix it and I need your help. Will you heal me? And guess how he'll respond? Absolutely. Since success is determined by how you get along with others, you have to learn to deal with the baggage of your past. And because if you don't, you're going to hurt people, and that baggage will grow to become very harmful to you and to those around you. Remember, hurting people hurt people. So if you came out of dysfunction, a home that had dysfunction, we've all had that in our upbringing, you will tend to build a dysfunctional home unless you deal with those past issues and the emotional stuff that needs correcting and healing and restoring. People who have an abusive past have a difficult time believing that God's love is unconditional. And when they make a mistake, they believe that God is going to abuse them like abusers did when they were kids. But I remind you, God so loved the world that he gave the very thing he loved the most, that was his son, to save you. And he promised in 1 John, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The devil will appear when you've made a mistake, when you failed, and he's going to say to you, "You're the one who committed the unpardonable sin." That devil is a liar. You need to know that your God will never cease loving you. God doesn't love you because of who you are. He loves you because of who he is. And even when you blow it, he never stops loving you. And if God can forgive you, surely you can learn to forgive yourself. And if you can get along with yourself, you'll learn how to get along with others. And it's time to let go of the emotional baggage. It's time to go on forward, leaving your issues behind. Because people carrying issues, they've always got a problem with their father, with their mother. They have a problem with the white man. They have a problem with the black man. They have an issue. As long as you have an issue, you're going to remain in your past. If you want to get out of your past, if you want to get out of the wildernesses and into the promises of God, you've got to let go of the past. Otherwise, that becomes your norm, and you get comfortable in brokenness. And God doesn't want us comfortable in brokenness. He's called us to health. Tell your neighbor you have to let go of your past. So God loves you no matter what your failed past looks like. But, Pastor, you don't know what I did. You don't know. You need to know Jesus took that guilt 2,000 years ago, and you don't have to walk one more step in that guilt any longer. Confess it and go on to what he got in front of you. The word says that nothing shall separate me from God's love. No amount of trouble can separate you. No amount of persecution can separate you. None of your failures can separate you from his love. When you give your life to him, you become the righteousness of God. You might not look perfect, but by his promises, God calls you righteous. Say, I am the righteousness of God. And that means you are in right standing with him. That means he loves you. He's not your enemy. And the reason the devil tries so hard to make you think God is angry with you, because his love is the very thing that can heal you and restore you. His love will help you rip down those walls one brick at a time. And the greatest commandment in God's word is what? Love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Then love others as yourself. God's love for you is what will help you unpack all your baggage. God's love is the very thing that helps you to release all of your control issues. Love is the thing that breaks up the negative cycles that you go through time after time after time. Listen, this negativity, this stuff, 10 times more negative stuff is thrown at you from the screen of your TV set and the screen of your smart device than there are positive. 10 times more every single day. I mean, you're going to get inundated with negative everywhere you turn. You've got to shut that stuff off. Love is the very thing that helps you break all of that kind of negativity that you go through all day long. And no matter who you are, you have to learn that God's love is based on him, not based on us. And when you obey him, he blesses you. When you disobey him, there are consequences to pay. But his love never changes, even when there's been discipline. And if God can forgive you, you can forgive yourself. God's love is amazingly unconditional. Even some godly and ungodly parents have not offered unconditional love. And because of that lack of unconditional love growing up, you're probably suffering a little bit from low self-esteem, little self-confidence, emotional baggage, feeling sorry for yourself, having a victim mentality. But no, you are no longer a victim. You were a victim BC, but now you're an overcomer AD. You're an overcomer in Jesus' name. And now that you love the Lord, you must be reprogrammed by his word. And the word tells you who you are. This world tells you stuff contrary to God's word. Your ungodly connections will tell you something contrary to God's word. You've got to know what God says about you. You know, the scripture says that God wrote the book of our lives before we were even born. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, God wrote the book of our lives. And what does that mean to me? That I need to go to my Heavenly Father and say, Dad, what did you write about me in your book? Would you reveal to me what it is you wrote in your book about my life? Because I want to pursue that with all of my heart, right? You've got to know who you are in Christ, not what people say about you. See, people will say that you're a grasshopper. You're not a grasshopper. You are a holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. You can have a healthy self-image when you know God loves you, accepts you, even when there's been failure, because he's got a plan for you. And anytime people have an addiction or addictive behaviors, you can bet their roots are bad. Addictive behavior displays itself when people go all out in their pursuit of something that helps them self-medicate. They don't do it partway. They just jump all in. It's addictive. And the reason people have addictions is because their addictions help them feel better about themselves temporarily. Addictions tell you there's something wrong in your life. That's what they should be saying to all of us. That's something wrong. You have to go to the root. If you're addicted to alcohol, addicted to substance, if you're addicted to sex outside of a marriage covenant, if you're addicted to power or addicted to money, whatever it is, that addiction is saying to you, there's a root in there that you have to clean out of your life, because until you deal with the root, you can't deal with the fruit. And the word tells you what to do. It says, meditate in the word of God day and night. Think about it. Process it. What are you saying to me? What's the message? I need to write this down about my life. And then secondly, obey the word in your life, and the word will help make your way prosperous. The word is what will change you from the inside. Tell somebody, we need to change from the inside out. Come on, like you mean it, right? A new suit or a new pair of shoes doesn't change you. Sorry. It might change the way you look. It doesn't change you. The word is mighty and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And the word is what will change you, because it cuts right down to the very root causes of what caused dysfunction in our life. The word is more powerful than your tendencies. The word is more powerful than your emotional baggage from bred out of your hurt. Anytime people don't feel good about themselves, they will lean in the direction of developing addictive, obsessive behaviors. Many times being overweight is nothing more than an addictive behavior. Eating food to feel good about ourselves, self-medicating, comfort, because I have some emotional pain down in here. Have you ever met a party animal? A party animal uses addictive behavior to attempt to make themselves feel good. And whenever you see someone who is sexually promiscuous, rest assured, they don't feel good about themselves. Their unbridled pride demands affirmation. And these addictive behaviors, these negative patterns, are all about trying to make themselves feel good. Remember this. Change has to start on the inside. Alcoholics are people who drink to feel good about themselves. Drug addicts are people who medicate themselves to feel good about themselves and mask the things that are ugly and painful. That addictive behavior indicates there's some baggage that needs to be dealt with. Addictions are the fruit of what is on the inside. So the reason some people are so hard to get along with is because of their obsessive, addictive behaviors. And until you begin to deal with those behaviors, you're not going to get along very much with too many people. Until you deal with all the emotional stuff from your past, you're probably just going to paddle water right where you are. And the number one reason people fail in life, succeed in life, it has to do with their attitudes and how those have been reformed. The number one reason people succeed in finances has to do with their attitude, because the majority of those who are wealthy didn't even finish college or barely finished college. They weren't at the top of their class, but they had an attitude that said, I'm not going to quit, and even though I failed before, I will pursue until I succeed this time. The number one reason people succeed, it's attitude. You cannot change where you've been, but you can change where you're going. We can change our attitudes. And if you have a control freak in your life, just keep looking straight ahead. Don't look left or right. Just straight ahead right now, right? If you have one of those, how many know you cannot change them? No, that'll give you away. Don't raise your hand. You cannot change them. You won't. However, what you can do is work on you. You can work on your attitudes. You can work on your response. You're not going to hurt me with your control problems. That's not going to. So work on yourself. But since our success is determined by our attitude, we need to make an attitude adjustment. If you're hard to get along with, it's going to affect the promise of God for your future. So you have to change from the inside. So I'm speaking about the heart, the core, who we are. And when you come to the place where you say, God, I see this in myself. I need help. I need your strength in this area. I pour myself out before you. I will get on the altar and I will lie there for you to operate and work on me from the inside out. And God will allow a circumstance so that you become more open to change in the condition of your heart. He will allow conditions to be created. See, it's not about just modifying your behavior, because if you just modify your behavior, you're going to revert back to that behavior. But you say, God, change me from the inside out. I want my desires to change. The wise person says, wait a minute, that might be a tendency in my life. This might be my problem in my attitude. But I'm going to change in order to please God and have the success He's designed for me. And remember, in the process, because it's uncomfortable to change. None of us likes the discomfort. But you, as long as you're comfortable, you're not going to be changed much. You're going to change in the uncomfortable moments of life. And in the process, don't murmur, don't backbite. Because how many know that murmurers and backbiters remain in the wilderness all of their lives? If you want all of God's blessing in your life, you have to believe God is all in to help you grow. He's on your side. And having an attitude adjustment where God is permitted to get in there and clean out some bad root. If you're truly going to get your attitudes turned around, you're going to have to learn to forgive people you don't want to forgive. Some of that emotional baggage in your life has to do with the fact that somebody hurt you and you didn't let it go. And now the wall around you has gotten higher. Now you're hiding behind your emotional baggage. And the majority of your issues will leave when you truly forgive and let go of what people have done to you. And by the way, when you forgive, you're helping yourself more than you are the one you forgave. Say, it's a heart thing. And if you're not easy to get along with, it'll affect you in business. It'll affect you in finances. In relationships, and the reason is because you hurt people, and the reason is because you've got undealt with hurts, and that affects what you do. And if, for instance, if you were to serve tables in a restaurant, your attitude will determine how much in tips you're going to receive. Your success is determined by your attitude and how you get along with people. Have you ever gone to a store and started shopping, and there was a salesperson who just walked around with a bad attitude? Did you ever meet one of those? And you attempted to be cordial, and after a few minutes you thought, now forget it, I'm not shopping in the store. The management may have been wonderful. The store might have been a pleasant place to shop, but because of the attitude of that one person, you're moving on, going somewhere else. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And therefore, there are companies and organizations that have a manual, behavioral manual, that they want all of their employees to utilize when they're working with clients and customers. This is the level we expect of you. This is the attitude we want displayed. If you are not going to meet this, you're not going to be here very long, because even corporations understand the importance of attitude for success. You have to change, though, from the inside, because the minute you clock out, then that attitude can go from, well, I have to do this for a paycheck, now I'm going to be the one I really am. But from God's perspective, let Him change you so that's the way you are all the time. Let me ask you, do people have a difficult time getting along with you? There's the problem. People who are hard to get along with don't know it. In fact, here's what they say. It's everybody else. I'm okay. It's just all the people around me, right? Ask people if you're hard to get along with. Not now, but privately, okay? Not now. You might not like what you hear, but that may be what you need to hear. If you have a negative attitude, it's going to follow you everywhere you go. Your attitude says everything about you. Let me ask you some questions that will help you discern the answer yourself. Are you teachable? Now, many come to church across our country and in our community, and even here, because they want more than they have. That's the reason you should be here. One of the reasons you should be here. Are you teachable? Well, other people go to churches because they want to punch the clock and say, I did my duty for the Lord this week. Are you teachable? If you're not teachable, you just waste time. And you're never going to get that time back. Another question. Will you make changes in your life because of the teaching and the learning and the growing that's being added to your life? It's one thing to say, I'm teachable. Doesn't count if you go out and do the exact same thing. Doesn't count. Will you make changes? You don't have to go from one negative season to the next. Another question, is your heart soft like wax? Under heat, wax softens. Or is your heart like clay and when the heat hits it, it gets harder and harder and harder? Some people, when they go through trouble, it softens their heart. It's the way God intended it. They say, God, I see it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Change me. I don't want to repeat this. I want a heart that's tender before you. Other people, their hearts just get harder. They go, no, I'm going to do it my way, and I don't care what you think. This is what I want to do. And when they get harder, the trouble mounts, and instead of softening them, it hardens them, and they get harder and harder and harder to get along with. Ask Pharaoh. Okay? Until the brokenness was severe. It's a heart thing. God, I want my heart to be pliable. So when you speak, I soften immediately. When trouble comes, I soften immediately. I don't harden my heart. Well, Pastor, I'm just not a people person. It's just not my personality to be friendly because I really don't care much to be around people. Well, change. Okay? Change. Make an attitude correction. Make a heart change. God changed me from the inside out. Ask him to help you. And when you ask him, he will. Because that's our Father. Tell somebody, I do need to make some changes. And if you want to be a success in life, there are going to be times when you're going to have to go against your personality and your own attitude. The thing that you were born with, that which is innate. It doesn't have to be your personality, you know, to be friendly. It doesn't have to be. But just be friendly. Choose. It doesn't have to be second nature to be loving, especially early on in your walk with Jesus. But be loving with God's help. When the Holy Spirit prompts you and says, there's an opportunity to show some love, do it. Choose to do that. Jesus said, given it shall be given back to you. So whatever you give out is the way life will come back to you. People with bad attitudes usually hurt others everywhere they go. Attitude change. And if your wife isn't talking to you today, Lord help us in here, chances are there's a serious attitude in your house. If she's silent, there's an attitude issue. Success in marriage is not about how much you can get. It's how you can give and then watch it come back to you. It's a faith issue. It's a spiritual matter. So when you've got a good attitude, you learn to be an encourager. You learn to choose to help. And when you have a good attitude, good things start happening back. And when you have a negative attitude, you're going to see negative results. When you have a good attitude, that you're going to get back what you gave out. When you have a bad attitude, you're going to get back what you gave out. Attitude always determines what comes back to you. So when people are kind and loving, others tend to gravitate in your direction. When you're harsh and critical, they tend to gravitate away from you. People who are full of this control dilemma in their lives become loners because they just keep pushing people away and they don't seem to get it. Your attitude is also reflected in your speech, in the way you talk with people, in the way you treat them. Jesus said, you are justified or condemned by your words. So don't get trapped by using wrong words. When you get home, don't be acting like a drill sergeant, right? Barking orders at everybody. If you've got a bad attitude, the first thing you better change is your words. Because James says your words are like a rudder, small on a ginormous ship, but man, it steers that ship wherever it's going to go. Because that rudder makes all the difference, and our words and our tongue are just like that in our lives. So they will guide you to either good or a bad attitude, and ultimately the ending of the story. When you're in New York, for instance, and you go visit the World Trade Center Museum, worth your trip, if you get up a little bit in height, not very much, story or two, you can look, if you go right down to the water, you can see New Jersey across the harbor. And some days, because the fog settles in, you can't see across the harbor. So you got to get in a high rise and go up 20, 25 stories, and when you do, then you can see New Jersey above the cloud level. The point, you have to climb higher to see what you need to see. Sometimes you have to climb higher than your words. And the way you treat people changes if you climb higher with the Lord in your life. I can't control the way people treat me, but I can control my attitude. When you're a fleshly person, you just go off. Every time something doesn't set with you, makes you uncomfortable, challenges you, gets in your space, you just go off because you're driven by your emotions. But now the fruit of the Spirit includes self-control in your life. And with God's help, you can control your attitude. You can control the way you treat people. You can change from the inside, and that will affect even how you speak. It's not what happens to you that determines your future. It's what's happening on the inside that determines your future. Your attitude is that Jesus is Lord even when bad things happen. Your attitude is that God will use it for good before it ends because I love him and he loves me. Tell somebody, I'm changing my attitude. That's why you need to be in church when the doors open so you can do what we were singing about. You can get into the presence of the Holy Spirit where miraculous change begins to get affected in us, where you can hear the truth of God revealed to you so that it begins to get applied to your life. We were out in the lobby. Somebody came to us and said, I haven't been here in a while, but man, you were preaching just to me this morning. I didn't know you were going to be here this morning, but he did, and he designed that for you today, right? And that's why you need to be in church. You need to bring God's presence, and you need to hear God's inspired word taught. Any Walmart choppers here? Walmart choppers? Yeah. You're one of the Walmart choppers. You're going to make it on the internet? Walmart chopper, right? They have a policy for their employees. If they're within 10 feet of anybody, they're supposed to smile, look them in the eye, and be friendly, right? Some people can't even be friendly and smile when you walk past it. They're grumps, just grumps. And whether you have a friendly personality or not, your success depends on how you treat people. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you reap. You always get back just what you gave out. So ask God to help you to change that negative attitude. And often people don't receive the promotion because of attitude. We can grow out of negativity. How many know that bad attitudes push people away? I wonder how many jobs could have been saved if attitudes were different while you were working. I wonder how many marriages could have been saved if attitudes had changed. If you sell out to God, he'll begin to fill you with his Spirit and begin the process of bearing good fruit in your life. And the negative cycles will change because when you were born again, God recreated you in his image. And the work he began in you, he chooses to perfect in you. But you got to cooperate, or it won't happen. When we work to make our landscaping grow and our flowers to bloom more and our fruit to be in greater capacity, we dig around and we add some stuff to the soil. How many know when God's working in your life, he adds things to you that stink? How many knows that? How many know that? If God's working in you, don't be surprised if he puts someone in authority over you that's a bigger control freak than you are. When God is working in your life, if you can't submit to authority, he just might put an unreasonable person over you. He's going to get your attention. And when he's working in your life, he'll put stuff in there that stinks. But it's good for us because sometimes he takes things out of our lives that we've grown to become accustomed to, and we've only become codependent on them, and those are our new normals, and then it hurts when he takes it away, but it's always for our good. The psalmist said, he makes me lie down, because sheep don't often want to just go do what the shepherd asks, so that's why he carries a rod and a staff, and when you get stubborn, he will make you lie down. You don't want that to become the norm, okay? When he calls my name, my sheep know my voice, Jesus said, I want to just snuggle. Do I need to lie down now? Mm-hmm. Lie down. Mm-hmm. It's a process. It's a process. He allow you to go through troubles to get you to change. Amen. God wants you to trust him so he can begin the process of tearing down all the walls, brick by brick. Doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. You didn't get where you are overnight. It takes time, and he affects change. And he wants us to trust him and hand over control to him. Say, okay, I'm going to stop trying to control everything myself. I'm trying to do it because I'm hurt, and I don't want anybody to hurt me again. So I'm, no, let go. And let him have his way. So you forgive people and circumstances of your past that hurt you. You focus on a future that's brighter and better and more productive. Now, sometimes it's painful to face forgiveness when it requires our forgiveness. It's painful to even talk about what people did to you. Bitterness can be a very painful pill, but it's not as painful to face the issues as it is to live in the isolation those issues bear upon you. So when you've been hurt, the issues get down deep, and you have to dig deep because it's the roots that produce the fruit. So you dig deep and you pull out, let him pull out those issues. God, I have this unforgiveness thing in my heart. They hurt me. They wronged me. It wasn't right. And I'll finish the sentence with him. And I'm asking you to help me to heal. See, this is an anointed word, and the anointing always destroys the yoke. And you can leave all this mess behind you. The memory will no longer hurt you any longer. You might remember it, but the pain will be gone. It's gone. And you can leave it all behind. Then, with a clear head and emotions now submitted to the Holy Spirit, bearing fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, right? Gentleness, kindness. Listen, you can go on to receive the promises that God has planned for your future. Anybody say hallelujah? Thank the Lord. Let's stand and bless the name of Jesus.